Welcome to Solo Cleaning School. Are you ready to reshape your mindset and grow your solo cleaning business? Step into today's class with your guide, Ken Carfagno, so you can win for your family.
Welcome to Solo Cleaning School. Today, I am going to get vulnerable and I am going to tell you of my misdeeds. Well, not misdeeds, but I'm going to tell you about the stuff I've broken. Yes, I have broken many things or damaged many things in the process of cleaning houses and offices for the past 15 years. But before I tell you examples of things I've broken and how I handled each broken or damaged scenario, I want to present to you two mindsets that will help you understand that breaking or damaging things in cleaning is normal and it's expected and nobody is perfect. That I know for sure. Mindset number one, why breaking stuff is okay. Is Ken really talking about this? Bear with me. I got two mindsets here that is going to show you why this is okay. The first one, your auto insurance company keeps actuarial tables and knows exactly how much an accident costs on average. These numbers are taken into account when you get and pay your annual insurance premium. In fact, it is designed to be a win-win for the insurance company and the insuree. If you get into an accident or not, the insurance company still will make money. They win. They make money. Plus, your accident or claim is covered, so you don't have to pay out of pocket. You win. If you cost the insurance company too much money, too many accidents, moving violations, things like that, that would raise your insurance or your premium, because the insurance company plugs in whatever you are as a risk, as a driver, they plug that into their actuarial tables and they come up with a premium that ensures they, the insurance company, makes a profit off of you and a profit over the entire clientele that they serve. And no matter what you pay as a premium, you're still not going to have to pay out of pocket if a major claim comes against you. Okay, that's how insurance works. Insurance is a product. We insure many things. One of those things is our business against general liability and bodily harm. Your business insurance company has the same actuarial tables and business model. Now, personally, I pay $550 per year in general liability. And yes, I have had to use it once. So the first mindset to take is this. You need insurance because things will break or get damaged. So go ahead and buy the insurance. It's going to happen. You're not perfect. Mindset number two of why it's okay to break or damage things. I am a former General Electric mechanical engineer and Six Sigma Green Belt. You might not have a clue what any of that means, and I'm not sure I do anymore. But I will dig deep into my recesses of my brain, and I will tell you what I remember. Six Sigma is a design system to minimize defects to six or less defects per million opportunities. It's an extremely difficult, high bar in engineering design to achieve. That's why companies like GE and Motorola in the 90s and 2000s thrived. As a cleaner, watch this. I touch roughly 500 things in each house or office that I clean. Over my 15 years, I've cleaned an average of 250 houses and 250 offices, or a total of 500 cleans per year. If you multiply this out, that would be 500 cleans times 500 opportunities of things to break in each clean times the 15 years that I've been cleaning, and you come up with 3,750,000 opportunities to break or damage something by me in my 15-year solo cleaning career. I call a break or a damage, I call this a defect in Six Sigma terminology. So over the same 15-year mark, I have broken or damaged about 75 items in people's homes or offices. And most of those are homes. It's been rare that anything has happened in an office. So let's call those what they are, defects. That's 75 defects in my 15 years. Again, let's continue the math and make some division happen. And it works out to 75 defects in 3.75 million opportunities works out to be 20 defects per million opportunities. Now, this is what's amazing to me. Five Sigma is 233 defects per million opportunities. Six Sigma, which is a way, way tighter standard and way harder to achieve, is six defects per million opportunities. I am sitting at 20 defects per million opportunities, which is way closer to Six Sigma than it is to Five Sigma. In fact, I am right on the cusp of being a Six Sigma green belt in my solo cleaning business. Because let's be honest here, of the 75 defects, most of them happened in the first 10 years of my business. Over the past 5 years, only a small fraction of those have occurred, so I am definitely Six Sigma in the past 5 years. Here's the takeaway I want you to hear from this mindset on It's Okay to Break Stuff. My rate of damage or defect as a solo cleaner is as good as my former company GE designed their airplane engines on the planes that take you all over the country. That's a pretty tight standard. So even though I've broken things, now you can see why I say it's okay to break things, because my numbers are within Six Sigma parameters. Now I want to make sure I get a side note in, because there are people that I have coached in the solo cleaning world that really struggle with breaking things. And my opinion is this: if you're struggling with breaking or damaging things, first evaluate your defect rate. Feel free to assume 500 opportunities per house or office like I did. Secondly, if your defect rate is over 50 per year, you need to make changes in how you clean. A few simple system changes and routine can fix it. And just to put the numbers in perspective, I said 50 per year. Let me do the math on this. Let's assume you also, as a solo cleaner, are cleaning 500 houses and or offices in 1 year. And each house or office has 500 opportunities. That's 250,000 opportunities in 1 year. If you were to create 50 defects in that same year, that would be 50 defects out of 250,000. To put that in Six Sigma terms, it'd have to be per million, which you'd have to multiply by four. Or in other words, 50 defects would be the same as 200 defects per million opportunities. That is right around that Five Sigma mark. Now, I know for sure that doesn't mean diddly to you, but let me explain it this way. I mentioned 50 per year equals Five Sigma. Well, what does 50 defects per year also mean? Well, there's 52 weeks in a year, and if you're breaking something 50 times in 1 year, that means you're having a problem or a mishap or a break or a damage once a week. It's not good. That is way too much. It means that you're either being a perfectionist, and instead of touching 500 things, you're touching 1,000 things because you want everything to be absolutely perfect, and you're cleaning things that don't need to be cleaned every single time. Evaluate that first. And then study your cleaning system. Maybe you want to get video of yourself cleaning and see if you're a little clumsy. Are you using both hands? Are you holding things firmly? You really need to study the way that you are cleaning, because this needs to be corrected. 50 defects in a year is not acceptable. All right, enough about you. Let's talk about me and the things I have broken. I've already mentioned the proper perspective on my personal defect record, but let's examine some of the 75 so you can see how I handled them. And I hope you find this useful because I have not ever seen this question answered in any of the cleaning groups online. And so I thought this would be fun to go over. And yes, I'm throwing myself under the bus, but I've already gone through why it's okay to break things. I've shared my two mindsets. Now, let me say what I have broken. First, knickknacks. Here's an example. In my first year, I had a client with a lot of knickknacks, especially in the kitchen. I decided early on to be a full surface cleaner, so I would move everything in order to clean under it. This particular house made me change my policy because I had to move like 100 items to clean the kitchen. Just the kitchen. Every single visit. So it was no surprise that I broke three of them. I would slide them or bump them and it would crack or break. I told the owner each time. After my second break, she held back $20 for my cleaning check and fired me on the third. Number two, breaking a coffee pot. What happens when you attempt to clean a thin glass coffee pot? Because you want to make it sparkle. In a slippery, wet hand over a hard granite kitchen counter. Slip, bang, crack. The answer is a broken coffee pot. I told the homeowner immediately. He ordered a new one online. I asked him how to pay it, and I just suggested, what if you take that amount of money off of my next cleaning check? It was $25, and he deducted that off the next cleaning. We were all square. And in that case, for $25, it was easier just to pay it because I have an insurance policy with a $500 deductible. We'll cover this shortly. I'm going to offer to pay everything out of pocket up until about $500 and possibly farther if I don't want to deal with a claim. Number three, the microwave plate. You know the spinning glass plates I'm talking about. Do you know how brittle they really are? I have cleaned thousands and thousands of them over my 15 years. But about 10 years ago, I held one too close to the granite countertop. As I was cleaning it, it banged against the granite and chipped one of the edges of this plate. I told the owner right away and offered to pay for it. When I looked it up, I could not believe these suckers are $75-$80 to get a new one. I offered to pay again. She told me not to worry about it. She didn't care. And then I offered again to replace it many times, each time I was there, until she finally said, "Ken, stop it. Don't worry about it. Thanks for letting me know. You've earned your trust. I'm not worried about a microwave plate." And that's how that one was handled. And I appreciated that. I said, "Thank you." Number four, toaster oven tray. I was going the extra mile for a client and cleaned an entire toaster oven, including the metal tray that sits inside. Unfortunately, I was not the science of cleaning expert that I am today, and I used a cleaning product that was alkaline, and although it cleaned the tray really good, it also pulled the surface off of said tray. So what was I left to do? I told the homeowner and offered to pay for it, but she wanted me to do the legwork and order it myself. I said, "Absolutely, I will take care of it." I found the part online based on the model number, ordered it, took it to her. Then I discovered I ordered the wrong part. It was too big. It didn't fit inside the toaster oven. That wasn't going to work for her. So I had to go back home, reorder the part, this time making sure it was the other one because there was two options. I didn't pick the right one. Oh well, wah wah, cry me a river, it happens. Problem solved, two trays, $50 total. And she was so kind, she let me keep the one that didn't fit. I had no idea what to do with it. I don't even know where it is now, but I did get to keep one. Number five, storm glass and window screens. Oh, I've done window cleaning for 15 years, and I've broken a few storm windows and screens. Most of them were from cleaning them, and we'll say that one of them, if you've listened to my funny papers, one of them happened when I fell off of a ladder, landed in a bush, and I was not able to preserve the storm glass that I was holding onto as I plummeted into the bush. The other ones were just breakages because the frames are old and they've been stuck, like the triple track windows, which I hate. They get stuck in the frame. You try and pull them and yank them out, and crack. They're thin glass, especially on the storm windows. And it doesn't take much twisting or contorting for one to crack. Crack! Right down the center. Yup, that's fun. What did I do on this and the multiple that I have broken? Well, I found myself a quality glass cleaner and repair shop to partner with. Ironically, the one that I chose was called Quality Glass. I would tell the client that I need to take the broken part to the shop for repair. I drop it off, pay between $20 and $40 to make the repair on the screen or on the storm glass, and then I'd go back to the house and I would reinstall it in the home, and the client was always happy. So they got their windows cleaned, and if anything broke, I fixed them myself and brought them back. Number 6, blinds. Now, I always recommend, if you have Venetian blinds, they are very inexpensive. Don't bother cleaning them, just buy new ones. This particular house, I was wrapping up a post-construction cleaning for a new client. This is into their new home. My detail was exquisite, down to the vacuuming of the ductwork. Pulling those vents off and vacuuming inside, they were very happy. Unfortunately, toward the end of this job, 3 blinds cracked, bent, or broke while I cleaned them. They weren't the cheapos that are easy to replace, but they weren't quality ones either. They were very flimsy, and I should have recognized the quality before I tried to clean them the way that I did. Regardless, I'm responsible for them. And by the way, this one happened this year, 2020, so it still happens. I'm not perfect. I broke a refrigerator glass tray this year as well, and that was a funny paper. So that's 2 things this year. Anyway, back to the blinds. I told the homeowner about it, and what they decided to do was allow me just to pay for them. They were $20 a piece. She was able to get them from her builder, have new ones sent over, and she took care of it. And the easiest way for me to pay her, since she had paid me through online payment through Stripe, I just went on to her payment and I refunded her $60, and she took care of the rest. And the last example, number 7, end table. So this is the only damage claim that was not small. And this is the only claim I've ever had to do against my insurance. Here's what happened. I use a backpack vacuum cleaner. These machines have a large footprint, and you must be spatially aware, especially with the wands and the tubes, because as you're in your backswing, your elbow, the tube, they can hit something that's behind you and you're not looking. Well, this is exactly what happened. I was vacuuming the same house that I broke the coffee pot at in the dining room, pushing the chairs back in, getting the carpet underneath the table, and I was backing up when I heard a crash. Turned around, oh man, a very heavy metal lamp fell over on the end table. Now the lamp was fine, I picked it back up, but when I looked, the table had a 2-inch scratch on it. I immediately told the owner, he was not happy at all. This end table was a Stickley Alley and Company end table, worth $2,000. I felt terrible because the process literally took him several hours to deal with. And my insurance policy had a $500 deductible. So on my end, there is no way I was going to pay for repairs or a $2,000 replacement table. I knew this one had to go to insurance most likely. And so the most obvious course of action was for me to give my insurance policy for my general liability to the homeowner, and then he had to do the legwork. It's just the way that works. He had to file the claim because the insurance company wanted to talk to the person that had the damaged property. And that started the whole process where he went back and forth with an insurance adjuster, with the Stickley Audi and Company. He had a repair person from Stickley Audi come over on the request of the adjuster from my insurance company, as he was trying to determine if it was fixable and pay out a much lower claim to fix or resurface this table. But the Stickley Audi repair person was not able to make the repair. He said, oh, you're going to have to buy a new one. So I don't know the validity of that. I mean, this is an insurance claim, so you figure he had a little bit of wiggle room. But regardless, it was out of my hands. Once that happened and the adjuster said, okay, we're going to have to suck it up and we're going to have to buy a new table and replace the one that was scratched for this customer of mine. And it took about a month or a month and a half in total, because the next step for the homeowner was to go and find the replacement. And wouldn't you know it, they did not have the same one, and it was a matching piece. Oh, again, I felt terrible. Ultimately, the wife chose a table that was same value, $2,000. It was nice. And what was a little benefit is they also got to keep the damaged and scratched table. So when it was all done and I went back to clean, in the room that I was vacuuming, the dining room now had two really nice stickly outy end tables. One scratched, one pristine. And you better believe I never got close to that lamp again. And there you have it. There's seven examples of things or stuff that I've broken over my 15 years. Now, I didn't obviously go through all 75. These are just seven examples. You heard some where the customer just said, don't worry about it, no big deal, I'll take care of it. Others where I paid out of pocket and they placed the order and took care of it. Others where I paid for it and took care of it out of my own time and ordered it and brought it to their house. There was other scenarios where I would take their part out of the house itself, like the windows, and go fix it at a repair shop. Or I might just send them money and a refund to get new blinds. These are all different ways of me paying for it. But in every case, I tried to square up. I would pay for what the damages are. And if the damages reached over or past slash beyond my deductible of $500 with my insurance policy, I would then evaluate. Do I want to pay $500 for a deductible to have this taken through insurance and risk my insurance policy going up a little bit? And usually it was something under $100, and I always pay for it under $100. But if it ever slipped up into the $600-$700 range, it's worth filing a claim. And with that table, I knew it would go above that. I hope you find this episode useful, and I hope that you do understand. I kind of joked around, but I hope you understand the two mindsets, that breaking stuff is okay. It's expected. It happens. Insurance companies are there because accidents happen. And general liability insurance companies are there because accidents happen. That's why you need to have insurance. That's the first piece. And evaluate how many things you are breaking. I threw a number out there. If you're breaking one thing a week, that is not good. If you're breaking one thing a year, that is totally fine. If you break one or two or even three things in the course of a year and you're cleaning a lot, I wouldn't be so concerned. But if you start doing more than that, you need to reassess and reevaluate and take a hard look at what you're doing. Look at yourself cleaning. Video yourself if you need to, because you will identify things that you're doing that could be altered, changed, made more efficient. And if you do that, you will tighten up your system. You will tighten up your defect rate. And that's what you want. You will break things, but just don't break too many things. Can we agree on that? Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to Solo Cleaning School. Class is dismissed.